Are you wanting to make changes in your life to make it better? Maybe you're stuck on how to do this because it's extra hard when you have a chronic illness to actually make those changes. Perhaps you've recently connected with your values and you're like, okay, now what do I do with them? This week, we're turning those values into values-based living so we can live better lives, even with our chronic illness. Welcome back to Chronically Living. I'm Kelsey Harris, chronic illness warrior and psychotherapist. On Chronically Living and How to Make the Most of It, we're providing tangible ways to improve the well-being of spoonies. So get ready to make the most out of your life, even with that pesky chronic illness. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in this week. As promised, this is part two of a two-part episode. We did part one a few weeks ago, and that was on values. That was season two, episode 24. So before proceeding into this episode, if you haven't listened to that one yet, I highly recommend checking it out because this episode will make way more sense and be way easier to follow and engage with if you do that. Also, if you listened to that episode and you did happen to write down some of your values, I would encourage you to pull out that list and keep it nearby as you listen to this episode because it will be very helpful. So today we're going to talk about values-based living, what it is and how we make it happen. So values-based living is essentially making life choices guided and motivated by our values. So this could be actual physical actions that are visible to everyone, but it can also mean psychological action, which is obviously less visible, but just as important. So to quote Russ Harris, this implies flexible action. So readily adapting to the challenges of the situation and either persisting with or changing behavior as required. In other words, doing what it takes to effectively live by your values. And the whole purpose of this is to take those values we connected with a few episodes ago and turn them into actual behaviors. So why is this important for people with chronic pain and or chronic illness? Well, short answer, this is actually important for everyone, regardless of health status, because it leads to a more fulfilling life. Long answer, if we are just specifically looking at chronic illness and pain, it kind of goes like this. Usually when we become consumed by our illness or pain, just as happens often with mental health issues, so if you have both, this might be extra happening to you, we are taken away from our values and we often start acting opposite of them. So I'm going to give you some examples from my own life. So independence has always been a value of mine since I was very, very young. I was always a very independent child and adolescent and young adult and adult. Okay. It's always been an important value. When I first became ill, I started to become incredibly clingy and dependent on my then partner. So I was actually just acting the opposite of my value. Another value is being able to self-care for my health, and that's kind of, for me, tied closely with fitness. But I was terrified to do exercise at first because I thought it would make like my pain worse. And it took me quite a while to be convinced to do any strength training. I had a dog, so I was already walking, and I worked in retail, so I walked around a lot. But to do any strength training was like really scary. So again, I was living maybe not fully opposite to this value, but certainly not fully in line with it. Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, but I really can't live in a way that represents my values because of my pain or my illness. And I totally hear you, been there, okay? This is really hard to do. The thing is, a lot more is in our control than we usually are willing to see or admit. When life is difficult, like it is for all of you warriors, we usually have more control over our physical actions and what we say than when we do over our thoughts and feelings, for example. So in our case, the thoughts and feelings are likely about our illness. Well, what if I held a knife at your back and said, have no feelings of fear, anxiety, sadness, etc. Have no thoughts about bad things happening to you. Could you do that? Probably not. Pretty much no one can do that. In fact, we know from psychological research that often the opposite happens. We think more about it. But what if I hold a knife to your back and demand that you dance like a penguin while singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star? Could you do that? So most likely the answer is yes. You know, that fear kicks in and we're like, oh, gotta stay alive. Gotta, you know, dance like a penguin singing Twinkle Twinkle. But let's back up for a moment. I'm going to read a little bit from Russ Harris again because I like the way he phrases certain things, including this challenge formula. For any challenging situation we face, we always have three options. One, leave. Two, stay and live by your values. So change whatever you can to improve the situation and make room for the pain that goes with it. Or three, stay and give up acting effectively. Just do things that make no difference or make life worse. Now, with chronic illness, we can't actually leave our illnesses or pain. It'd be great, but it's not actually what's going to happen. So we're down to two choices. So which one do you think might actually make your life better? Which one makes it worse? Okay, so now we're going to do the fun part of the episode. And I've touched on this in the past, but we're going to talk about it again today a little more deeply. So this is goal setting. And here's how we're going to do this. So again, if you have some paper and want to write down all this for yourself, it might be really helpful. It's hard to keep track of some of the stuff in our heads. So writing it down also makes it more likely that we're going to do that and remember how to do it. So first thing you're going to do is pick one domain in your life that you want to improve. So this could be your health, maybe it's your family relationships or getting back to work or personal growth, really anything that you want to improve, leisure, whatever it is, okay? Next, choose one of your values that you want to bring into this life domain, right? So if you chose health, maybe it's that self-care piece that I like, right? Or if it's relationships, maybe it is compassion in your relationships or communication, right? So pick your value that goes with that life domain. Your value here is meant to motivate you toward your goal. So make sure you're choosing this very carefully. Once you've done that, we're going to set SMART goals. So feel free to pause and resume as needed during this section if you need to do some writing, okay? So let's review what SMART goals are. Now, a lot of people use the business model of setting SMART goals, but what I'm going to do is use the values model because that just makes way more sense for what we're doing. S stands for specific. So what are you specifically going to be doing? Try not to be vague. You want to be as specific as possible. M stands for motivated by values or meaningful, okay? Is this goal motivated by the values that you wrote down? A stands for adaptive. Is this goal going to improve your life in some way? R stands for realistic. So make sure that it's something you can actually achieve, taking into consideration time, money, your current health status, social supports, knowledge, and any other skills that you have or need to have to accomplish your goal. And finally, T stands for time bound. So we want to set a specific time frame for when you want to accomplish this goal. And sometimes what we have to do is break the goal down into smaller goals. And this is often key for most of our goals. So if your goal is to take your medication as prescribed, but you're only doing it a third of the time right now, then maybe start by aiming to take it half the time by X date, and then 2/3 or 3/4 of the time by X date, and then 100% of the time by X date. So you've just broken it down so that you can kind of easily go along so that it's more realistic and it's time framed. So let's take a moment to check on your goal. So again, if you need a moment to write it down, just pause and then come back. So is this a live person's goal? So what do I mean by that? A dead person's goal is something that, well, a dead person could do as well or better than you could. So a good goal is going to be one that describes the behavior you will take. So what you are going to do, not what you're not going to do, okay? So if you're trying to cut out sugar, for example, your goal wouldn't be, I won't eat any more sugar. It would be, when I'm craving sugar, I will acknowledge and make room for that urge and eat something healthy like an apple. If you didn't listen to the episode on acceptance, so that's season 2, episode 21, where I talk about urges and urge surfing, and I also talk about some other things I'm going to mention later in this episode, like self-compassion, then maybe take a listen to that one after this episode, because it will be important. Also, double check that your goal is realistic. So on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being you could easily accomplish it, and 0 being there is no way you could accomplish it, just take a moment and give your goal a rating. If you rated it less than a 7, rework that goal. So maybe that's breaking it down to smaller steps. You know, you need to be confident in your ability to accomplish this. Lastly, check that the payoffs of accomplishing the goal are important to you. So how will this goal improve your life? Now, inevitably, we will have obstacles to accomplish our goals. So try to think about what might get in your way. Will it be your thoughts and feelings? You know, for most of us, that's what it is. If an obstacle comes up, what will you be doing instead to act by your values and or accomplish your goal? Sometimes we also come up with impossible goals. So this would be like if I said I want to run a marathon next spring. But for me, it would be impossible because I don't run. Okay, I power walk, like I can walk pretty fast, but I don't run. Running is really hard on my knees, which have been hurting more recently anyway. So it's an activity that actually kind of increases my pain, whereas walking is not. So when we have these kind of goals, it's really hard. So like if this was my goal, right, it'd be really hard because it'd be disappointing to acknowledge that, you know, maybe it's impossible. Maybe I can't do that. And that's okay. It's normal. Like those emotions that you're having are normal around impossible goals. We have to make some room for these feelings, you know, create some distance between ourselves and our thoughts, and offer ourselves some self-compassion. What would my value be underlying this goal, though? So if this was my goal. So this sounds like a health and fitness goal. So maybe what would a more realistic goal be then? So maybe it's to walk the distance of a marathon or a half marathon. Okay, I'm not even going to lie. I don't even know what the distance of a marathon or a half marathon is. But I'm hoping you kind of get my point by that, right? Like you want to make sure that that goal is realistic for you. Also, this is not actually a goal of mine. I have no interest in running a marathon. But I've also learned not to set impossible goals or to try not to, or if I notice that I have, to quickly rework it into something that is more manageable. So by the way, engaging in these new values-based behaviors is often super uncomfortable and can even feel like sucky at first, especially depending on what your goal is. Like if you're trying to make dietary changes or exercise changes, sometimes it's like it doesn't feel good. However, we can actually improve our lives without going through some of the suck, right? That's just part of life. We have to make some room for it. And I know I keep saying that. So please, please listen to the acceptance episode if you haven't yet, because it will make it much easier for you to go after your goals if you start to learn to accept and make room for some of those painful emotions and sometimes even painful sensations, right? Like if I gave into every sensation and emotion that was painful for me, I probably would not be working. Okay, and I love my work and it really aligns with my values. So for those of you who don't know, I'm a therapist and I would probably not be doing this podcast. Okay, this also is something I love to do and aligns with my values. So I have to make some room for some of the things that are uncomfortable and painful in order to do some of these other things that are values-based. There are a few things that stop us when we are trying to live by our values. So this acronym is called HARD, which totally makes sense, H-A-R-D. We are hooked by our thoughts. We are avoiding uncomfortable feelings. We are remote from our values. We have doubtful goals. What do we do when this happens? Well, we need to unhook from our thoughts. So that was season 2, episode 18. We need to make room for discomfort. So again, the acceptance episode. We need to connect with our values, the values episode. We need to reassess our goals to make sure that they are realistic. We also need to look at the workability of our current behaviors. So is what we are doing making our life better or worse right now? Like whatever your current behaviors are. If you answered that the things you're doing are making it worse, then it's not workable. Or if it's providing short-term relief but not long-term relief, it also is probably not workable. But if you answered yes, it is helping me out long-term, then that's good. Like, we want to stick with that. That's a good behavior. So I'm going to give you an example for me. Eating gluten was not making my life better. Kind of hard on my stomach. I knew that for a long time, but I kept eating it because it's delicious. cutting it out has made it better though for me. Okay. My meditation practice was making my life better already, so I keep it. Make sense? Okay, hopefully I haven't lost anybody. We also need to determine our willingness to engage in these behaviors. If you aren't willing to step out of your comfort zone in order to live the life you want to live, you won't ever do it. Okay? So remember to keep in mind the benefits that this change you want to make are going to have on your life. And also just consider any costs of what you're currently doing. So you might have to run back to the episode on creative hopelessness. That was season 2, episode 12 for more on that. And yes, this is, if you really want, this is, I said this is a part 2 of a 2-part series, but if you really want to look at this as like it's going to be like a 7-episode like mini series to kind of help you along your way in, you know, living this values-based life and making life a little bit better for yourself. Also, I highly recommend just doing this with a therapist if you can afford to go see a therapist, or, you know, if you have access to free therapy, which is out there and is available, try to take advantage of that. I think that this is, you can definitely do this in like a self-help version, kind of like we're doing here, or by buying self-help books, but obviously having someone to support you along the way will make it that much easier for you. I want to end this episode by highlighting 2 things. So first, change is hard. I don't know anyone who has purposely decided to make changes in their life and found it easy. And it's definitely never been easy for me. I usually have to put a lot of time and energy into it, but I can say it's always been worthwhile for me. And second, change is slow. So remember when Dr. Richard Harris said that back in season 2, episode 11? He's 100% correct. And I have to remind my clients and myself about this all the time. It took me so long to make some of the changes in my life. So for example, downloaded the meditation app Calm in 2018, but did not start meditating daily until 2020. And that was at first only 5 minutes a day. Now I do about 20 minutes a day. But like, as you can see, change is slow. Okay, so let's take a deep breath in. And exhale. What do you notice about your thoughts and feelings today? What are you noticing about your noticing? I'll talk to you all again in the new year. In the meantime, keep making the most of it. Special thanks to Mardi for the original music and Charity Williams for the original artwork.